What's up, everybody? We're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast.
Hey, guys, I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
How are you doing, Noah?
I'm doing good. Just wondering, are these ghosts real? I don't know. I think I'm starting to turn more into JJ, where I want another ghost experience in my life.
Really? You want to experience someone from the ether realm? What
it's called? The ether realm. Yeah, I think ether feels like something you put in your car to keep it running, but I'll take an ether ghost if I can get one.
I swear, every time I pass a church or like anything creepy, I'm at the point where I just stand still and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. And I look up at every window and I'm like, okay, just appear. Like, I'm ready, but still nothing.
Well, thankfully we got a guest today who has had some experiences with the ether realm. How you doing, AJ? Thanks for coming on.
No, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I don't know why you want experience with it. I was not thrilled. It was not a good time. 10 out of 10 would not recommend.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Oh,
wow.
Well, let's just get right to it. I mean, you've had some kind of encounter with ghosts, but prior to that experience, did you grow up believing in ghosts, or were you pretty skeptical of them?
I've always been kind of middle of the road. Mm-hmm. I would love that there's something out there. I'm a pretty devout Catholic, so my joke is purgatory is just where all these ghosts come from, because you're just haunting off your sins, and I'm totally down to be in some Victorian mansion for a couple hundred years to work off all that. But I went to Ohio University, which, if anyone listening might know, it's a very haunted campus. I'm 4 years, no experiences whatsoever. So that turned me into a bit of a skeptic. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be at one of the most haunted places in America, according to the Travel Network.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's we have 5 cemeteries that make a pentagram, and in the center of the pentagram is our college campus.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Pentagram as in like a satanic symbol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, but we had an insane asylum on the top of the hill that we would all go up to, and it was just creepy. And you know, there's ghost stories, but I never had anything in college. So it was very disappointing. So it turned me into a skeptic. You know, I'm here with all these ghosts for 4 years.
The insane asylum, retired or active?
Retired.
But I don't think we call things that anymore.
Yeah, no. But it finally stopped being a mental health facility in 94.
Okay, wow. So not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but
I got to know, was the pentagram layout of the cemetery, was that like, do you know anything about the history of that? Was that intentional?
If you look at Google Maps, I think someone was just enjoying themselves a little too much with maybe some adult beverages and was like, how can I connect these lines to form something? Mm-hmm. But it's there. But again, it was very disappointing to go 4 years without even seeing anything.
So was there anything there before the college was there?
I'm sure. No, it was just, I think it settled in 1790. So I don't know the Native American history of it.
Yeah. Kudos for knowing when your school opened, because I don't know that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, we opened in 1804. We're the oldest school in the Northwest Territory.
Dang.
So you know these things.
Watch out.
You know these things when the other school in your state is Ohio State.
Yeah.
So how do you differentiate yourself from them? So.
Gotcha. Okay, so on a scale of 0 to 10, we try to do this with everyone. Yeah. 0 being you believe in nothing. Wait. Have I done this podcast?
I believe ghosts exist.
You're agnostic on life.
You have 0 belief in ghosts, or 10, you're like all in. Where would you be?
Oh, I hate to be this guy, but I'm a 5. I'm middle
That's
of the
okay.
road.
A lot of
higher
fives.
Than
so
most
of them.
Yeah.
I definitely see that something being out there, but you know, a lot of the stuff can be proven wrong.
Yeah.
So you graduate from college.
Yes.
Disappointingly, did not have any spooky encounters.
A skeptic, yeah.
And then what happened?
So my best friend from college moved to Charleston, and I moved to Atlanta, and that's not a bad drive. So we still try to see each other about once a month, or every other month we'll trade locations. But my buddy, who I will refrain from naming, he thinks he's Irish.
Okay.
His family is about as they're not Irish at all, but they think they are. And God, you know, God bless them. But they love St. Patrick's Day. So we always make it a point to meet up for St. Patrick's Day. So this is first St. Patrick's Day in Charleston. So I said, I'm going to come to you. That seems, you know, it's close to Savannah. They have that huge St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love Charleston. I'll go to you. And I was just recovering from the flu. I had a horrible case of the flu. But I was like, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to have a good time. So I drive over and I still felt kind of iffy the whole week. And then the night we were going to go out, he was living at this house called the Drexel House on Wentworth Street. So if anyone listening is familiar with Charleston, it's right on the peninsula, right downtown, very old building, not part of the original settlement of Charleston, but definitely one of the first annexed parts. So very, you know, pre-Revolutionary War. So very, very old building. Great location too, to have a friend live in Charleston. So you're right in the center of everything.
Sounds great.
But they transformed it into a missionary house. The reason he was living there is he became a missionary right after college. So he had to spend 2 years living there, but it meant a great mini vacation for me. So I wasn't going to say no to that. Mm-hmm. He and the other missionaries were going to do a Bible study, and they offered me to go, but I just wasn't feeling well and I wanted to sleep off. And I was trying to avoid taking medicine because I wanted to go out drinking with everyone. I know, great, great priorities. Great. This probably explained why.
Bible study, we've been out in the town. Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to refrain from taking medicine so I can enjoy the night to the fullest. So I said, I'm just going to take a nap. Thanks for the offer, but I'll just come get me when you're done. Mm-hmm. So they had all these spare rooms because, you know, it was a convent before a missionary house, so they had plenty of beds. So I had a room all to myself. So I, you know, laid down, and halfway through my nap, I hear the door open. And so I thought, oh, okay, it must be time. You know, I'm a very light sleeper. It doesn't take me much to wake up, especially being in a deep sleep. And I hear the door open, so I go, oh, is it time? And, you know, referring to my friend. And I don't hear a response. And so I start to look towards the door. You know, I still had my eyes closed at this point, but I start to look towards the door to figure out why he hasn't answered me yet, when I'm hit in the face with a pillow. I mean, I mean, this was someone wound it up and just across the face, and it knocked my head back down on my other pillows. And I screamed, what the heck? What was that for? You know, I used some more colorful language. I was very upset, and the door slammed, and I was like, what was going on? What was that for? Yeah. I told him to wake me up. Not, you know, I didn't need a violent
get
wake
back from
up.
Bible study and yeah. smack the shit out of me.
And then he just ran away. I was so upset with him. And I said, fine, well, he can come get me like an adult when he's ready. Mm-hmm. So I lay my head back down. And sometime later, my friend actually comes in the room and he goes, wake up, sleepyhead. And I immediately have an attitude with him. I go, oh, so now you politely wake me up. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, you were in here earlier. He goes, no, I wasn't.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, yeah, you were. You hit me with a pillow and then ran out because you're a little something. And he goes, no. I was down in Bible study the whole time. We didn't have a chance to leave. I'm now just getting you.
Was that off the property, the Bible study?
No, it was, they were in the chapel. They had a little room for mass.
Okay.
that they went down to.
Gotcha.
I guess chapel would be the best word to describe it. It was on the other side of the house downstairs.
Yep.
I mean, it was a big house. It was a synagogue in the 1700s, and then it was the first slave church or Catholic church in Charleston, and then it became the convent where the nuns taught school to the other children in the area. And he came back up and he's like, no, I didn't come up. And I told him the story, and he goes, oh, that's not cool. So he didn't really like that story I told him, but he kind of waved it off as a fever dream. because I, you know, I still wasn't feeling 100%. I said, no, like the door open. I heard the door open. Something hit me across the face.
Yeah.
Like what felt like a pillow. Like definitely, it felt like a pillow fight.
It's one thing about a fever dream, like thinking you see a shadow, but then like to actually feel, like sit up and get pushed back down.
Like hearing the door open and close, my door open and close, and feeling the pillow is what freaked me out. So that I, you know, after hearing a few other things from some of his other friends who lived there, it definitely, I chalk it up to, even though I'm not a believer, it was probably the closest I've gotten to
like a supernatural.
Supernatural encounter.
Can I just say that I hope I have friends sweet enough one day to wake me up and say, hey, sleepyhead.
Yeah. Right?
I'm the sweetest guy I've ever heard of.
I would consider getting slapped in the face by a pillow, just like a normal wake up call. If like one of my
if you could
wake me up,
you could call down at front desk and say, "I'll have one pillow slap, please."
Well, yeah, they don't do that at the hotels for some reason. No. I get it.
No, we're best friends, so I thought the pillow to the face. I mean, I was mad, but I figured. And yeah. So when he came back in, like, "Hey, sleepyhead," I thought that was the juxtaposition. So
is there any like shred of doubt in you that maybe your friend is still lying to you about not waking you up?
No,
with a pillow?
My friend is a lot of things, a lot of good things. He's not a liar. I've always, you know, at first I thought he was pulling my leg, but that was 3 years ago. Yeah. It was 3 years ago, and I've told the story, you know, I've recounted the story numerous times, and he's had plenty of opportunities. I know I've even told him, if it was you, you know, you got me. I'm telling everyone it's a ghost. Like, you made me look foolish. Yeah. Like, I
definitely. Let me know now.
Let
you
me know
won.
Now. Yeah. In fact, I called him before meeting up with you guys, and he still sticks to his guns. That, and it makes it, you're in a Bible study. You can't really just get up and go. So, yeah.
Well, so that room was his room.
No, it was one of the other, it was an open room. So okay. No one
stayed in there.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. But that's why they let me stay in there.
Yeah.
Do you remember if the placement of the pillows were off or anything later when he came in?
Well, that was the thing. There was only one pillow in the room. My pillow pet, my polar bear pillow pet. I'm not ashamed.
Yeah.
That was the only pillow in the room, but this was the force and the texture, you know, I can still feel it across my face. The force and the texture was your traditional, you know, feathered pillow in a typical cloth case. What you would find anywhere, like at a hotel or your friend's house or your parents' house, like nothing out of the ordinary. And I thought he had grabbed his pillow from his room. Cause that's what it felt like.
And really thought it out and come over and hit you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're best friends. I honestly, I was just more mad he ran away instead of letting me return the pillow.
Do you remember? So you get hit in the face. You hear the door close after that.
I got hit in the face and I yelled out, "What was that for?" And then the door closed.
And then did you just go back to sleep after that?
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't feeling well. The door closed. I figured he left. I mean, at that point, when I shouted, after the door closed, I actually had my eyes open and I was alone in the room. So, to me, it was, okay, when he is ready to come get me, he'll come back and get me.
And so did you say you saw like a figure in the door? Or am I confusing that with another podcast?
I kind of feel like but I don't know if this is just me going back and adding it. Yeah. But there, I definitely felt... I knew I wasn't alone in the room.
Okay.
I definitely felt there was... That's why when I got hit in the face with a pillow, I believed he was in there. So, it definitely was that feeling of...
Yeah.
Someone is in here with me.
Yeah.
I was not feeling well, so I just didn't open my eyes.
Yeah.
So I, you know, as I kind of yelled out, "What was that for?" I could have sworn I saw a shadow rush to the door and as it closed. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's just me... my brain filling in the pieces because that's what makes sense. That's what's normal. Mm-hmm. But I definitely heard the door close.
How long ago was this?
It was 2015.
Okay.
So it was like 3 or 4 years ago. 5 years?
Five years ago. I know.
Oh.
It's already 2020. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I always try to think, because I'm very skeptical about ghosts. Less so now. than I was before we started the podcast. And I always try to think, like, if I was in that position, like, would I believe it was a ghost? Would I believe it was something kind of weird with my brain? And there's, like, so many interesting studies on memory and how, like, you know, our brains can create really vivid memories of things that didn't happen just over time because it's trying to fill in the gaps. So not to say that, like, none of this happened, but
it's just, you know,
and I think it sounds like you're aware that, like, sometimes you can't always trust, like, you know, your visual memories of how things went down.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good explanation for, like, the shadow thing. But then also, you've been telling your friend this since it happened.
Yeah.
So now you have two memories to remember this in detail.
Right.
Which is crazy. And
there was clearly, like, something that initially that happened that, like, set it all off. And who knows what that was.
Did you know anyone else, like, that was in the Bible study that would have come up and do this? Or
I knew them all, but through my friend.
Yeah, like, not to the level of
that would it's almost like, if they're listening to this, you guys are jerks because I barely knew you. I was friendly enough that maybe they would peek their head in and, you know, throw a marshmallow at me, but not actually go in. And they all knew I wasn't feeling well, so to go into someone who's not 100% there and hit them with a pillow, I was the only person that would have been I'm on that level with would have been my best friend. And he
So if you could explain it, like, if you were a 10 and believed in all types of ghosts, how would you would you explain that as, like, a kid that used to live there, or like a nun, like, how would you explain it?
I would definitely say it was a kid. It was a school. You know, for the last 150 years, you know, there's definitely childish energy in there. And some of the other stories that after I told my story, some of the other things I heard, you know, keys have gone missing and then wound up in another spot. Small light footsteps have been heard in the hallway. Mm-hmm. So not like you're clunking like boots or heels, definitely like light feet running pitter patter. Light switches going on and off, you know, things being misplaced, and the sense of being watched, like a child's curiosity, just to see what you're up to. So that's what some of the other people. So I being hit with a pillow kind of fits that energy that, you know, a kid saw me sleep. Everyone else is downstairs and he or she wanted someone to play with. So that, you know, oh, here's someone sleeping. I'll wake them up.
Yeah.
But then, you know, playing the prank, like, I'll run out of the door. You know, I felt if it was a nun, I feel like I would have got wrapped across the knuckles and then dragged downstairs. I'm like, whoa, where am I? How did
I
get downstairs?
Maybe the nun wanted to play.
Yeah.
I love the idea of, like, a nun being, like, just super, like, serious and repressed, like, all throughout life, and then, like, coming back as a ghost and just playing pranks on people.
But if there's going to be somewhere that's haunted, it's probably a building that has religious, like, basically a religious artifact from, did you say the 1700s?
Yeah, I mean, it was a Jewish synagogue, and then it was a Catholic church, and then a convent. So, I mean,
and it was a Catholic church specifically for enslaved people.
Okay. Yeah,
that was what I was going to ask. I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, it became a Catholic church around 1850, I believe.
Wow.
So for the, and it's where the slaves went.
Wow.
So it was a separate church for them. And then in the early 1900s, it became the convent and the school. So the nuns lived there and they taught school there.
Weird for me to think, like, because the school, was it one where kids would stay overnight, like a boarding school?
That I don't know. But there, I mean, accidents happen at school, or, you know, they say like,
time.
You know, if your energy is there long enough, or if, you know, they spent most of their time there, and even though they didn't die there, but they spent a lot of time there, that's where they felt comfortable going back to.
Yeah. So I'm picturing like a ghost, a child from the school, like going into different dimensions and getting a pillow from when it was nuns and then coming to your time and slapping you with it.
Okay.
Is that too much?
school kind of like when you're in school, it kind of feels like purgatory. So like if it is like a Catholic purgatory thing, it makes sense that they like go back to their old Catholic school.
I hate that feeling when you go back to like your old elementary school or something and it feels like the ceilings are like super low.
Everything,
you know, because
is
your
smaller.
Perception feels haunted just in general. Yeah, for sure. And you may have already said this, but does this building have like a name or something where our listeners can look it up?
It's the Drexel House on Wentworth Street in downtown Charleston. If I knew the motto for Charleston, I would give it a plug right here. But it's right downtown on the peninsula. It's only a couple blocks away from Market Street, where if I don't know if you guys are familiar with Charleston, but it's the open air slave market. And Charleston is just an old city with a lot of its own energy. So.
I went there for a bachelorette party, and we went to the market. And they're selling like bougie necklaces and paintings and stuff. But maybe it's just because I knew what it was before. It just makes me feel like, I don't know, there's something about it. I feel different when I'm there.
The whole city. Yeah. I love Charleston. I love that my friend still lives there. He, after his mission ran up, he stayed and got a real job down there. I love going back to visit, but yeah, it's definitely, you walk around these old houses and buildings, and you can feel the history. And I know that sounds cliche, but there's something there. There's something like, I don't know how to describe it, but.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, cause I mean, if ghosts did exist, it makes sense to me that there would be a ton of them in places like Charleston and Savannah because of, you know, the really awful history around slavery and around those places being southern port cities. So like that makes sense to me, but I also wonder, you know, if it's just kind of like what you were saying, Kat, if it's just knowing that history and being cognizant of it that makes people feel like there's kind of something sinister and otherworldly going on there. Do you have a thought on either of those?
No, I agree with you. I think if you're aware, you know, as I was talking about earlier about my university, you know, I know the history. I know all the ghost stories that are associated with my school, but I never experienced anything, and I wanted to. And actually, I didn't know the history about this house fully until after this. So to me, it was just this nice big house. I knew it was old.
That's a good point.
I did know it was old. I did know that it was, you know, it was before America was America. And I knew it was a religious institution before it became kind of a boarding house for missionaries. So, but it wasn't until that. And even then I didn't know it was a school. So I knew it, you know, I knew it was old and I knew it had religious associations, but I didn't know it was a school. So to say like, oh, that was a childish prank and then find out it was a school kind of that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Cause he went into it with no idea that it would be haunted or anything.
Yeah.
So to your point,
I mean,
go in there thinking it was haunted.
I wish. And part of I did have the flu, so it could have been a fever dream, but to have just maybe see a shadow, to definitely hear the door open and close,
to feel it,
to feel the pillow across my face. I mean, my head, I was starting to look, and that's when the pillow hit. And it wasn't until my eyes were open that the door was shut again. So it was weird to have all my senses kind of, you know, that someone's in the room with me, that there's a trick of the light, that a noise, a sensation. It was just too much. It was just like to all be a fever dream.
Now, has that given you any kind of like ghost PTSD since the pillow hit you in the face?
Not really. So the next morning, my friend had to leave. I was heading back to Atlanta the next morning anyway, but he had to leave early. So he gave me the key and I was just going to put it under the doormat. And he had a fire exit by his room that I could take down to my car. And he said, make sure you lock up before you leave. And I was alone in the building the next day and it was just dark. And I just saw the red exit signs and nothing happened to me that next morning, but I think he left and my plan was to sleep in another hour or two. Cause he left at like 6 a.m. And I think at 6:15, I said, you know what? I think I'm good to head back to Atlanta. Like, I think it's time. I don't like this. I was going to shower and I don't even think I brushed my teeth. I think I just left and said, I'm going home. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm getting out of here.
You said you're a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. So why not higher than a 5 if you've had this experience?
Probably, you know, not to keep bringing it around, but you know, going to a very haunted or supposedly haunted university, not having a single thing happen. I've been to the Stanley Hotel or the Overlook Hotel in Denver. Nothing.
Is that the one that like the Shining?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I put myself in situation, and I've been back to Charleston. My friend's no longer in the Drexel House, but I probably stayed 5 or 6 times there, and that was my only encounter. So while it was such a real tangible encounter,
yeah,
even going back to Charleston now.
Did you ever go back to the Drexel House after that stay?
Yeah, I did. But I didn't go back to that room. So yeah. I guess that's my subconscious telling me that I do have PTSD. I think from that point on, I was like, I'm going to stay in your room from now. Yeah.
So the Catholic Church, I know a lot of people who are Catholic believe in, the possibility of ghosts. Is that like an official church doctrine?
My 12 years of Sunday school didn't dive into that, but I do find that a lot of my religious friends do believe, because it kind of goes hand in hand with the afterlife. It's heaven, hell, and purgatory, so we do believe in an afterlife, so it kind of makes sense that there may be something more out there. The friend in Charleston does not believe in ghosts whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
I have another devoutly religious friend, never had a ghost experience in his life, but you know, he would be a 10 out of 10 on your show. So I don't think it's with the religion, but I think it coincides with the,
right.
with the religious beliefs easily enough.
That makes sense.
And especially because, we believe when someone dies, they're not really gone. So mm-hmm. that, and an extension of that is they come back to say hi or to rudely wake you up when you're just trying to feel better.
And did anyone ever try to perform an exorcism at the Drexel House?
As far as I'm aware, no. And as far as I'm told by the legal advice, no.
The legal advice. Ooh.
Officially.
Is this the Pope's stance?
Yeah. Pope Francis is texting me right now. Watch your words.
We're going to call it. That's next week's episode.
It's no secret that the Catholic Church does perform exorcisms. I can't tell you who does them in Charleston. I don't even know if they have a unit in Charleston. I know the Catholic Church has them
unit.
As a whole.
Oh, that sounds so
cool.
Yeah,
no, they're their own special. It's like SVU. They're their own thing.
Wow.
I know they exist. I just don't. I couldn't tell you. And they don't advertise it. So even if they are, it's very discreet. It's not a secret and it's not forbidden to know, but they're not advertising it.
They find you. You don't find them.
Yeah. Or you, it's almost like you say, it's almost like a drug deal. Like, hey, can I get a lottery scratch ticket? Wink, wink. And then like the priest comes with the holy water.
I will
like,
watch this movie. Every day of the
I guess it probably makes sense for like practical reasons. I assume if they advertise, they would probably just get a lot of people spamming them or something.
Spamming. But. And it is very, it's take it with a grain of salt. Exorcism. Yeah, that's a different topic for a different day. But since it does have a history of two different faiths, I definitely believe something had to have happened there at one point. Whether that's an exorcism, I mean, definitely last rites have happened there. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a school, I'm sure they did First Communion and last rites can be done anywhere. So if there was a plague or something that broke out, an outbreak or a flu, and that's where they took, it's an open space. So they took bodies there to kind of quarantine them. The last rites would have been performed there. So, but that's that I don't know.
Yeah.
So it does have a chapel connected to it. So it does have a connection. So it could definitely be a gateway. There's a lot, but part of me, as fun of a story it is to tell, like part of me deep down really just hopes it was a bad fever dream because I was alone in that house too many times. So
yeah.
I love the idea of somebody being able to perform like a reverse exorcism where you're not haunted or anything, and they just walk up to you and say some kind of like religious garble, and then you're just taken by a demon. So a scale 1 to 10, how much do you believe in exorcisms?
Ooh, like 3, 2. Yeah, definitely. If you know, it's a great placebo effect. So if you think you're cured of your ailment because a quote unquote demon is in you, then great. I'm glad it got it out of you. But I think that's called anxiety or depression. We all have that. So
So we've had guests on who said they believe there's a war between like angels and demons going on, and that what people see are more related closely to demons or you know, angels. What do you think about that as an explanation for ghosts?
No, I think ghosts are their own thing. I think, you can be drawn to a place, or you can have such, you know, the whole unfinished business. I definitely buy into, I think ghosts are their own thing. If you're doing something for so often every day, the example I'm always given, if you slam a door every day, and that energy of you slamming that door is just in it. So even after you die, you know, there's some residual energy. So that's why doors close suddenly. So yeah. I don't know.
And bathrooms must be a nightmare.
Mary.
I am going to haunt my office bathroom when I leave this earth.
Stall 3, floor 2.
Floor 9, stall 2.
Every day at 10 a.m.
And then again at 2.
Oh, no!
I eat a lot of fiber. That's the thing. It's a nice little break away from your desk.
Yeah.
Anyway, did not think this podcast was going to go that direction.
I almost took it down another route, so.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say, I almost took a dump, and I was like, what?
Well, children ghosts, please come haunt our dreams tonight so we know that you're real. Thank you.
Oh, no, don't.
Not AJ. AJ had enough from your first visit. We know you're sorry. And so
unless they want to lose a pillow fight, because I need a rematch.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks so much for coming on and telling us all this. I want to go to Charleston now and scope it.
Yes, you should all go. Same. They do great ghost tours. I've never been on one, but it's definitely on my list to do. And if they take you by the Drexel House, you already have a story.
Yeah. So.
There we go.
All right, AJ, any lasting words for our audience before we get out of here?
Oh, no. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for sharing your story. Noah, are you a believer in the pillow fighting ghost?
So I had, the experience when I was a kid with what felt like kind of a kid ghost wanting to play hide and go seek or whatever that was. I mean, I think if there are ghosts, I would assume they run the gamut of children to adult to whatever. Mm-hmm. This story, specifically, it's interesting. It's pretty haunting. I don't know if it necessarily moves the needle one way or the other. I feel like I'm at about a 4 or 5 now. So this story hits about there. I mean, if there's going to be a place that's haunted, it's that building
for sure.
You know, and
100%.
AJ seems like an honest, good person. So I don't have any reason to think that he wouldn't be telling the truth, but I kind of think I'm kind of still about where I was before. What about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm still skeptical. I mean, obviously, like, if ghosts are out there, they probably are at a place like the Drexel House. That place sounds super haunted. It's difficult, just like judging other people's ghost stories, and because, you know, our brains are weird and like they do weird stuff to us that, like, you know, perfectly sane people can, you know, see, hear, or feel things that aren't necessarily there, because it's just some weird thing that our brain is trying to interpret. And so I don't know. I wouldn't say that you know, I don't find any fault in the story, but I don't know if it's enough to convince me per se.
Yeah. I definitely believe that something happened because you got knocked down. So,
yeah.
And like, I don't
you
think
you got up again.
And like, I, you got knocked down and you got back up again. That's great. But also, I don't know. Like, that's true about your brain making up stuff, but that kind of thing has never happened to you. You've never just like had a physical hallucination of someone knocking you down.
No, it was a one off. Like I wish it was normal so I could be like this one. It just happened at this really spooky house.
I so desperately like want to know if it was a kid there. It makes sense to me. So I don't know, maybe.
And it's another poltergeist. I feel like we've been getting more and more poltergeist stories.
Well, we learned that poltergeists are just ghosts, but they're just like rougher. What was
well
the
they move physical objects, right?
Yeah,
or like touch you, I think is kind of the
in the German word translated to like loud spirit or something like that.
Sure. It was something like that. Gosh, we just looked that up, I think, last week.
Look, memory, our brains, they're
a
not
rumble
great
ghost. Look, here's my note. Rumble like ghost. Last rumble or 2 weeks ago, rumble ghost,
like a pack in an N64.
Anyways.
Yeah, well, it's a fun episode, AJ. Thanks for coming on and sharing your story. With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
Ooh. Ooh.